are wildly raging and the waves are rolling high. I've an anchor in the Christ of Calvary. When my ship is so unsteady on this restless sea of life, He'll stand by me. He'll stand by me.
Stand by me.
He'll stand by me.
Stand by me. Stand by me. Through all trouble and tribulation, stand by me. He said, I'll be with you always till the world no more shall be. He'll stand by me. He'll stand by me.
Stand by me.
There's no reason I should doubt him. All he said he'd do, he's done. So I place my trust in him to stand by me. Though I'm weak and so unworthy, in his eyes I am his son. He'll stand by me. He'll stand by me.
He'll stand by me.
Stand by me. Stand by me. Through all trouble and tribulation, stand by me. He said, I'll be with you always till the world no more shall be. He'll stand by me. He'll stand by me.
Stand by me.
He'll stand by me. He'll stand by me.
Stand by me.
Make sure they don't roll off. All right, take your Bibles this morning, please. Open them to the book of Luke, chapter 1, and we'll be picking up where we left off last week. We're getting awful close to Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. You know, that's the Christmas story. So you got to be asking yourself, how am I going to stretch out the rest of chapter 1 till this next Christmas? Well, I'm not. And hopefully you'll see, start seeing today, the Christmas story is not about necessarily the Christmas story, okay? The babe, the manger, the wise men that we usually see in Luke chapter 2. There is doctrinal truth in chapter 1 and chapter 2 that we just need to know about God. And I'm so thankful God gave us the Christmas story, and He told us about the manger, the wise men, the shepherds, the little drummer boy. Oh, wait, he wasn't in there. I'm getting confused here. But I'm so glad God gave us that picturesque story, but there's truth in that story that He's trying to teach us as well. And we're going to see some of that this morning. Let's pray together. Father, God, we need Your help. I need Your help today as I present this truth. God, please give me clarity of thought. Help my words to be clear. Help them to be Your words, not Your divinely inspired words, but just to say what You want said, how You wanted it said today. I need Your help to do that. And God, everyone in here, we need You to help us to be listeners to the Spirit as He speaks to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So this passage this morning contains a very important statement about Jesus. It's on the screen. Jesus is Lord. It contains doctrinal truth that isn't as exciting as a manger with a star above it and cute little kids and angel wings, okay? But nonetheless, it is important, and we need to know how that truth applies today. What do we do with the truth? This is what we're going to look at this morning is actually the very first testimony ever given by human lips about Jesus. Look with me in verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Okay, so picking up where we left off last week, Mary had just learned from the angel that she was with child and still a virgin. And this was done by the Holy Spirit. But she also learned, if you remember from last week, that her cousin Elizabeth, who had long since passed childbearing age, was also expecting a child. She went to see her cousin. That picks us right up there in verse 39. So she goes to see her cousin. They had some things to talk about, don't you think? The Bible says she went with haste. She wasn't messing around, okay? After the announcement she just got from the angel about herself, then she finds out her cousin, who's past childbearing age, is also expecting. Whoa, okay? If only there had been Twitter accounts at that time. They would have been burning up their phones trying to figure out what is going on. She went with haste, that speed, that earnestness. She had some questions for Elizabeth. And she had some news to share herself. Elizabeth didn't know about her. Now, I want you to keep this in mind before we read on. Mary knew of Elizabeth's condition because the angel told her. Elizabeth didn't know about Mary's condition. Keep that in mind, okay? Let's read on, verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth, I'll add here, who didn't know Mary was pregnant, Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. So Mary enters the home. Mary knows about Elizabeth. Elizabeth doesn't know about Mary. She greeted Elizabeth, and then the amazing thing happened. Elizabeth greeted Mary, but in a very unusual way. Three things happened when Mary entered that home. First of all, the babe leaped, the Bible tells us, okay? Now, ladies that have carried a child, you've felt that before, haven't you? I'm going to say maybe yes, maybe no, not in this context, okay? The baby kicked, maybe moved, rolled around a little bit, okay? But this verse says that Elizabeth's baby leapt. Oh, some of you are like holding your stomachs right now. Oh, no, not that. Picture your baby, okay, inside your womb, all curled up in that fetal position, maybe twitching a leg, moving around. Now imagine that little guy, woo, jumping up and down in your belly. Wow, okay, that's the context behind here. Now, was John the Baptist, as a six-month-old baby in a womb, was he doing this? I don't know, but it was something more than just a baby moving in the womb. He leapt, it says, which makes the rest of her announcement supernatural with what took place. Elizabeth still didn't know about Mary's condition. Here's the second thing that happened when Mary entered the house. The Bible tells us that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She began to prophesy. All that means is she began to speak truth. She said things that she didn't know herself. She didn't know about Mary's condition, and yet here she is speaking of it. Mary didn't even have time to tell her, guess what happened to me? And all of a sudden, Elizabeth is just speaking of it. How did she know? The Bible clarifies that. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was speaking through her. Look with me at verse 42. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. How did she know that? It's the Holy Spirit speaking through her. Verse 43, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, here it is again, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Wow, Elizabeth seems to know an awful lot about what happened to Mary, the conversation with the angel. She knows all of the circumstances and the details. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit led Elizabeth to greet Mary as the mother of the Messiah. The third thing that happened when Mary entered the room or the house was Elizabeth proclaimed the baby was the Lord. Okay, let's move on here to this concept of Christ being honored in this salutation, in this greeting. Christ was honored in what Elizabeth said, not Mary. Christ was honored. God would have his son to be honored on earth, even as he is honored in heaven. Max Lucado, I think it was, wrote a book a while back entitled, It's Not About Me. Or it's not about you. In other words, the world doesn't revolve around us. It's all about God, okay? And this message, this testimony that Elizabeth gives, it's not about Mary. It's all about Jesus. Consider these verses. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. 1 Peter 2:9, again, it says there, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, Mary was blessed. But she was blessed because of, and it said it there in our text, because of the fruit of her womb was great. That's the reason. This is, now, Mary was blessed, okay? And I want to clarify, because this is where some of this truth comes in that we sometimes miss. Mary was blessed, but that's not the same as perfect or having committed no sin. There are some that believe Mary was sinless. There are some that believe she did not have a sin nature. They believe that today, and they teach that. By the way, that teaching, okay, within this particular denomination didn't exist until about the 1850s. And suddenly that began to be taught. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a godly and blessed woman, but she was not without sin. Jesus was the only human without sin. Two verses to back that up, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, God made Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then again in 1 John chapter 3, it says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins in him who is no sin. Jesus is the only person in the Bible that God ever says had no sin. It's only ever said about Jesus. Nothing like that is ever said about Mary or anyone else for that matter. Consider this. The Bible also gives us evidence that she was a normal person, just like you and I, with a normal person's need of salvation. Okay? Luke chapter 1, verse 47. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. In Mary's praise-filled, humbled prayer, she says, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. If she were sinless, she wouldn't have needed a Savior. As an ordinary part of the human race, born into the world in the ordinary way, just like everybody, Mary was not without sin. Romans 3:23 lays it out clearly. All have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, that means, are not perfect, okay? There is nothing in the Bible to suggest that Mary was an exception to that rule. And there is also, by the way, what John wrote in 1 John chapter 1. He said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Which means, what we're speaking, that we have no sin, that coming out of our mouths is not truth. God just said, the truth is not in us if we're saying that we have no sin. Now, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. The we in this passage includes Mary. So the claim that Mary is without sin is an example of just what God calls it here, deceit. We deceive ourselves with those words. This passage also talks about Christ's deity. Now here we want to take another look at Elizabeth's confession. Let's reread a couple of verses. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. She called Mary's baby my Lord. Of course, she's speaking under the direction of the Holy Spirit. She didn't even know prior to Mary coming to her doorstep, she didn't even know about Mary's condition. She's stating that the baby is not just the Messiah that they learned about from their Old Testament teachings, but he was the Son of the Highest, Lord God himself. And she was confessing this truth, and Mary's baby was her Lord. Now, the confession, it was a very personal thing that Elizabeth was confessing. She confessed it to Mary. There's no record of her ever sharing it again. Okay? Of course, the whole world knows she says it now. It's in the Bible. But prior to the Bible, to Luke being recorded and put onto paper, there's no record that she ever shared that truth again. Apparently, she never even shared it with her son that was in her womb, which we know is John the Baptist. She never shared it with him either. All this while growing up, John the Baptist's cousin was Lord, Messiah, Son of God, and his mama never shared that with him. The Bible doesn't say she doesn't, but consider this. He didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah until Christ's baptism, and that's when God revealed it to him. He had to discover. John had to. Now, his mom could have told him when he was younger. I mean, come on, mom, that would have made things a lot easier. I'm out here saying, you know, preparing the way of the Lord, preaching about someone that's going to come at some time in the future. And here he's my cousin, you know. I could have just directed people to him. But she didn't share it with him. John had to discover and confess Christ for himself. He couldn't confess Christ because his mama told him so. He had to discover Jesus on his own. And so do we all. It's a personal decision that each one needs to make. I can't confess Christ on behalf of my children when they're babies. They have to discover that on their own. It's a personal decision. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, it says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. You know, folks, we can try to convince people. We can try to cajole them. We can try to sell people into accepting Christ. But it has to be a decision that they come to by the work of the Holy Spirit. just as it was with Elizabeth when she confessed Christ, just as it was with John the Baptist at Christ's baptism when he confessed Christ right there. Matthew chapter 16, he saith unto him, by whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, how did Peter come to that conclusion? How did he come to that belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Well, the very next verse, verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. It's not saying we shouldn't tell people about Jesus. Folks, when we tell people about Jesus, we're going from here to here, to their mind. Romans 10:9 says, if thou believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a personal decision that each person must make on their own. My friend, if you have not made that decision to believe Christ died for your sins, I have to ask you, why not? Why wouldn't you make that decision? This passage also talks about faith equals promise, okay? There are two reasons why Mary has been blessed by believers of every generation. The verse says, Mary is blessed. Mary shall be blessed. And as I've stated, some people take that to elevate her to a sinless condition. What does it mean? How was she blessed? Mary believed the word of God sent to her. We looked at that last week in the verses preceding these. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. The angel had just told her what's about to happen. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. That short little statement right there, massive statement of faith that she's proclaiming. There were no arguments. There wasn't any doubt in her mind at all. There was no, but you see, I'm kind of unmarried. This is going to be inconvenient. just simple, humble faith. It didn't all make sense to her because she asked the angel last week for more information. It didn't make sense to her. It was just faith. Folks, sometimes things happen we don't have all the answers to, and they don't make sense. God's word says this, even though it doesn't make all the sense we want it to make. Faith brings about obedience. With Mary, there were no arguments on her part. Let me compare her to the individual just before her that we looked at 2 weeks ago, Zacharias. This would be Elizabeth's husband, okay, who was well past childbearing age. Luke chapter 1 and verse 20. Not childbearing age, because husbands don't bear children. You know what I meant. Okay. Luke chapter 1 and verse 20. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak. This was Zechariah's consequence. Until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. An angel came to Zacharias and said, hey, you're going to be a daddy, okay? Your wife, who's past childbearing age, you haven't had any children your entire married life together. She's with child. And he said, what? What's that commercial say? What? And he's like, no way. Wait a minute. How can that be? Doubt, 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 doubt. And God said, okay. Your wife is still going to be with child. That's part of God's plan, but there's a consequence. He couldn't speak for the entire term of the pregnancy. Now, he's done. The angel appears before Mary. He said, hey, Mary, guess what? She said, let it be so. She believed the words from God. As a consequence, she was blessed. Mary was blessed because of her faith, but consider this as well. Mary was related to Christ in a very, very special way. I know it seems kind of obvious, but there's a significance to that. She was his mother. You can't get much more personal than that. These two facts about Mary: she believed God, she was related to God in a special way, those opened the door for her to be blessed by God. Believed God, was related to him in a special way, opened the door for her to be blessed, as God said she would be. Now, here's a thought for us. Those same two facts are essential for us if we wish to be blessed by God. Remember the first one? We must believe the word of God sent to us. There's no picking and choosing in the Bible what you like and don't like. The lady this morning in Sunday school that was presenting conditions in the country where she serves, the authorities, okay, they have state-approved churches, but the authorities pick the Bible that will be used in the church. They basically take the Bible and they cut out everything that they don't want to be taught, and that's what they can use. That's awful, isn't it? Censorship. Come on, the patriots, where are you? We should be amening that. It's a violation of our Constitution, this censorship. This is wrong. And it is. And it's shameful that this country does that. But folks, we do that. When we know what God's Word says. Yeah, but we don't like get scissors and cut it out of our Bible. We just ignore that. And we're censoring God's words to us. We must believe the word of God sent to us. Remember, we're trying to open the door to blessings from God. And it starts just like it did with Mary, believing the word of God sent to us. Luke 11, verse 28. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. John 14, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So we have to believe that God's word is God's word. But then we also, just like Mary, we must become related to Christ by adoption. Mary had this special relationship with Jesus as his mother. This resembles, this concept of adoption resembles the unique relationship that Mary did have. Here's what happens. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. God's word tells us that Christ came to redeem us. That's the word that I had read there in verse 5. To redeem, it means to pay. To pay what? Christ came to pay something for us, the penalty of our sin, so that we could be part of the family of God, that we might be saved. My friends, there is only one way to have that relationship. Believe what God has said about it. Acts 16, it says, believe. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believing the words of God. Galatians chapter 2, knowing that a man is not justified. Again, I always say this, but I'll always say this moving forward too. Justified, it means just as if I have never sinned, okay? Knowing that a man is not put into a condition that it's just as if they have never sinned, okay? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Nothing I can do will ever make it so that I have never sinned. Knowing that a man is justified, I'll get through this verse sooner or later, okay? Not by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Titus 3:5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. This thing called salvation, getting saved, becoming righteous, whatever people want to call it, you don't see in the Bible where we have any part of it. It's a process that's initiated by the Holy Spirit, made possible by Jesus because of God's love, and the Holy Spirit continues the process on the other end by this washing of regeneration. I haven't done a thing yet except believe. Believe the words that God has sent us. This is the only way that we can enter that personal relationship with God. Jesus said, I am the way. Our part is just to believe. The result of Mary's believing the word of God was that she got to see and was a part of God's performance of those promises that he had made. Deuteronomy chapter 7, it says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. The Bible is so full of promises from God. Great promises. I don't know of any bad promises that God made us. Promises and mercy. I want them all, okay? I do. I want them all. I don't get them all. Because God's word points out, not just in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, but the verse I just read, the faithful God which keeps his covenant, his promises, and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. Just like with Mary. Believe the word of God, okay? Have this special relationship with Christ. Open the door to blessings. How do we know if we believe the word of God? We're doing the word of God. And that opens the door to blessings from God. So we study the blessings, the promises. We love the promises. We have them in our homes thanks to Etsy and whatever else makes those things. We put them up on our walls. We have all the promises, the little slogans, the bumper stickers, but we don't have those promises if we're not believing God enough to obey his word. Because then that's what opens the door to the promises. Are those doors opened to you this morning? Believe God? Yes, most people say they believe in God. But do you believe God? Believe his words enough to obey his words, even when they don't make sense? That's when faith kicks in, doesn't it? I mean, if I see a chair on the floor and it's built with steel I-beams, triple welded, I don't even know if that's a thing. quadruple supported, okay? And there's a bunch of real strong guys standing around it holding it in place. I see all that. I'm going to think, okay, I think that chair will hold me. I'll stand on it now. Versus something that doesn't look so good. I just can't understand why it's even called a chair. And you want me to stand on it? That's going to take faith. See, that's when faith kicks in, when we don't have all the answers. Folks, if we're going to be people of faith, that's when we have to demonstrate it, when things don't make sense. Are we still going to follow God's word? Because that's when our real faith kicks in. Do you have that special relationship with Christ? If not, why not? What are you waiting for? Let's bow our heads, please. God in heaven, help us this morning as we consider these two concepts here. As believers, God, are we fully believing your word, demonstrated by our obedience to it? God, I pray your spirit would work this morning in each of our hearts. Show us, pinpoint it, tear it open, reveal it. That area where we've been censoring the Bible out of our life because we don't get it, we don't understand it, we don't have enough faith to believe it. And God, if there's someone here this morning that, wow, if their life ended today, they just don't know if they're going to be in heaven or not. God, I pray they wouldn't leave this morning till they make the decision to trust you as their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please.